Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776,
713-780-3776. So you had a lot going on this weekend. You went out of town to Washington. You went and saw the Nationals play. You went and saw Frankie, but you went to outdoor baseball Nationals. Do you prefer outdoor baseball or indoor baseball?
It was hot.
That's what I'm saying. And you were in the sun.
I was in the sun. It was hot.
Washington gets hot, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
And humid. I didn't realize
it was good,
Washington
though.
was humid.
It was great. I like outdoor baseball.
You like that baseball or you like...
Minute Maid. But this is the second time I've been to the Nationals game. It's a nice park. It's a ballpark.
I've only gone to Nationals Park once. When we were there, we went and watched them play. It's a good park. Yeah, it's a good park. I like, and we watched it at night. You were in a day game. We were at night. It was a
night.
Little warm.
Night is perfect.
It was a little bit humid, but not too bad. I mean, it was. I think we went in June. Which would have been the same as you. I like air conditioned baseball. I'm soft like that. Now football, once you get in the fall, well, first couple months can be brutal watching football here in Houston.
Stop.
But no, everything else is great. But so you had your U.S. Open stuff going on. You had that with your trip there, and you got to see that. You had two game sevens. We had Atlanta beating Philadelphia in Philadelphia. Then you had the Bucks beating the Nets in New Jersey. So we had those two game sevens. And the game we didn't talk about that we can get to briefly, right now, even without Chris Paul, the Suns are on a serious, serious run. The talk is that Cameron Payne has made one of the greatest jumps in history of basketball in terms of his level of play over a 2-year run. Devin Booker is in full superstar mode and did a phenomenal job of distributing the basketball as well. It was just catch and dunk fest for DeAndre Ayton yesterday. And they're playing at a tempo and a pace that I don't think a team with tired legs like the Clippers, I don't think they're going to like it. I think this is an extraordinarily bad matchup that could end up in a sweep.
Kawhi is really...
Not having Kawhi didn't mean a thing.
So what...
Because other guys have stepped up in Kawhi's absence. You've had other guys step up, and sometimes that happens. And Paul George has actually played really well. But I just think the pace... You know, the Suns played at a pace that's really, really difficult to keep up with.
Harder for a team to overcome. Suns losing Chris Paul... Or the Clippers losing Kawhi?
Well, I would say Suns losing Paul based on the history of this year with the Suns. But after yesterday's game, you have to question that. The Suns in the playoff series, their first playoff series against... who did they play the first round when they were down and everyone thought they were out? Oh, the Lakers. Remember that? And Chris Paul wasn't there. And it's like, oh my God, Suns without Chris Paul are an atrocity. I thought we might see that yesterday. Not at all.
No.
Not even close.
Well, let's not forget, again, the Suns have been on a run now for a while. They had 8 games in the bubble, which they won without Chris Paul.
But then the thought was, well, the Suns haven't played for so long, they're going to be rusty. No. Nope. Not when you play that fast. Like, you get shots in early offense that quickly. And that fan base and that crowd, I haven't heard a louder since the bubble stuff came, since they started letting people back in the stands. I have not heard, and I don't know if it's mic placement or what, but I have not heard a louder fan base than the Suns. The Suns blow it out. Their fans are
I lived there for 3 years.
Crazy.
I lived there for 3 years. The Suns are, you can, it doesn't matter what other sport comes there. The Coyotes can win. The Cardinals can win. The Suns are the it's so deeply ingrained in Suns basketball has been unbelievable. It, you know, when they had Alvin Adams and
I think they're good, people come out and they're really
Charles
loud.
And you know that Thunder run with Dan, those guys. Yeah. But they've been the Suns own that town. The Suns own that town. They really do.
Wow.
It does. Yeah. Without a doubt.
More than the Diamondbacks.
More than the Diamondbacks. Surprisingly.
More than transient football teams.
Yeah. The one that's going to be there for a while. The Cardinals. You know, with all the Cardinals in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we went to break, I asked you how are the Texans even more like the Rockets today?
I can't come up with one.
So they're both really the worst franchises in their respective sports. You know what? So they're a lot alike. They both have really, really poor rosters. So they're a lot alike like that. You know, they both are, you know, they got to dig out. They've got so much to overcome after their general manager screwed them and just everything that they've done, all the bad moves that they've made over these last few years. And now they're both struggling to sell tickets. Did you see this? Houston Texans special offer. Family 4-pack on sale now. Celebrate dad with a family 4-pack. Need a last-minute gift for dad? Our family 4-packs are now available for purchase. Join us for the Texans versus Jaguars home opener. Wait a minute. The first game of the season, you have got a family 4-pack? First of all, there's never been a family 4-pack for the Texans. Never seen one. Because they don't need it. They've never needed to do this.
They just, individual tickets, they just sell out.
Each 4-pack includes 4 tickets, 4 pizzas, 4 sodas for only $199. Nothing says Happy Father's Day like a pack of Texans tickets. Click the button here to grab your family 4-pack. They will go fast. This is the home opener. The home opener has historically, first of all, they've sold out every game. So they haven't had to do anything like this. But the home opener you're worried about selling, that you have to put together a family 4-pack of giveaways to get people to go to the game?
Huh.
This is before they're, you know, when they're 1-7. Now, man, what are we going to do, guys?
Is it over? I'm looking to see if they still have family 4-pack. If it truly, I don't see it right now. You see it? Was that an email sent to you?
Yeah, it was it's a tweet. It was a tweet. Okay. Dude, this screams of desperation of where this organization is with the tickets now. This is an organization that had 20-some thousand or more on the wait list. What was Jerome was 12,000-something on the wait list, and he was called this year. He was 12-something thousand a few months ago. And he was called to see if he wants his tickets, and he said, no, I don't want them. This is a waiting list that has been unbelievably long. Now, the Packers wait list is just stupid. It's just stupid how long that wait list is. I mean, it could take you it could take decades for you or more for you to get your season. So you could go a lifetime and not get have your number called on the Packers wait list.
Yeah.
This has been months that they have gone through an unbelievably long wait list, and now they're doing family 4-packs for the opener.
When was that out? I can't find it.
It was just out this past week.
I wonder if they deleted it because they did sell it out or got rid of it. It was during the week? Okay. I'll keep looking to see if I can.
How about that, though? This is... I'm telling you, we're going to have our first non-sellout.
You really think?
Our first non-sellout will be. Oh, yes.
When's absolutely. The last time you heard of a non-sellout in the NFL anymore? Because you remember they've lightened the rules up. Are there,
no. There's not going to be a. I didn't say there's going to be a blackout. I said a non-sellout. There's non-sellouts. All the Chargers never sell out.
Oh, I guess that's true. Well, are they blacked out? Or they don't do blackouts anymore?
The Lions never sell out.
Do they don't? Do they not buy do blackouts tickets. Anymore? Because we
no, they don't had, do blackouts anymore.
Okay, because we haven't had to worry. About
we're not going
to
worry about
so
that.
Long.
No, we don't have to worry about that. But we do have to. This will be. This will be the first time that you're not going to have a sellout in Houston. This year will be the first time. And I don't even know that it's – and it may be game one if they're trying to – if they're giving away family four-packs for the opener. Usually you save, you know, any kind of deal or whatnot when you're really crappy and it's the middle of the season. Wow. I'm going to guess the Texans are doing a 10 tickets for a $100 deal. That's how they become the Rockets. No, it's not a – 10 tickets for $100 to see a Texans game? Holy crap. If they get to that, the Rockets have 41 home games to sell. The Rockets have eight. So eight or nine or, you know, in preseason games. There will literally – they've got one preseason game, right, Tampa? Because there's three now and they're only doing – I think they've only got one preseason game. That stadium will not be half full. It won't even be close to half full.
No, they'll sell out. See, I can't even find the family four-pack thing anymore.
Well, that was for Father's Day, because Father's Day's over.
So what? There's still a long way to go.
Well, yeah, no.
Before you get to see, you need to keep selling those tickets.
We'll make up another reason now.
Well, that's a pretty good, that feels like a, is it 199 total, not per ticket?
No, 199 total.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty good deal.
Oh, it's an unbelievable deal.
You got Cokes, pizzas, and tickets? Yeah. I mean, you're clearly up in the nosebleeds, but still. For that price, I'm thinking that's going to sell, I would think. They'll still sell out. They have to do deals like that, though.
Yeah, to sell out. Well, wait a minute. That's game one, Lance.
That's game one.
What's going to happen in game 9 and 10?
No. It's going to be – this will be their lowest actual attendance, like butts in the seats. This will be the lowest that they've ever had, I think. Because there is no buzz. There's no star players. Well, you can't wait to go see JJ. You can't wait to go see DeAndre. You can't wait to go see Deshaun. Gone. You don't have anybody. You don't have anybody you're connected to.
Tyrod.
But you can't wait to see a guy that you've never had play for you, Tyrod Taylor. What, Laremy Tunsil, your best player? He's a tackle. No one goes to see a tackle.
You're going to see Kamu Grugier-Hill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Justin Reed. I recognize that guy from the Jinxed HEB commercials.
Right. I'm going to see Terrence Brooks today.
Mm.
Or you Terrence sure Mitchell, whichever one's.
Or Mitchell or whoever. Which
There's
one of
a
the
couple.
Terrences?
There's two of them, I think.
Yep.
There's a couple of Terrences.
Hey, David Johnson, we are Texans.
Yeah. No. This has gotten to a point where I am, this is 21 years in. This is not 19 years in, whatever. This is year 20, right? This is going to be year 20. To get to this place from where this organization, how this organization owned this city is congratulations, Bill O'Brien. You've done things that no one thought possible. So congratulations for what you've done for this organization.
Do you think he's underappreciated?
I think he might be. He has done.
He's accomplished things no one thought he could.
No, right.
Or would.
No.
I think we need to reevaluate. It's time to have a conversation and reevaluate what Bill O'Brien's done here. He's done things that have been remarkable.
Well, it is remarkable where it's at right
that
now.
That have never been done before.
That have never been done
Correct.
Before. Right.
I think you guys
Bill was able to turn an entire city against an organization. Now, that's probably a little much, but he has been able to part of turning he hasn't turned an entire city against, and there's still Texans fans.
Oh no, there are.
But I mean, I've never seen this level of apathy or anger ever for the Texans ever. And Bill O'Brien will go down as that guy. Bill O'Brien will go down as the most hated person, like Bud Adams was with the Oilers. Bill O'Brien will have so few fans of his work,
yeah.
And he was the most successful coach in Texans history.
Did you see Lane Kiffin's interview this weekend? Lane Kiffin talked about Nick Saban's rehab.
No, what did he say? Yeah.
Well,
where did he say this?
He said, I couldn't thank him more. You know, obviously we had our issues. Somebody did an article with Lane Kiffin, and he said, well, look at Sarkisian, look at me. Look at there are other redemption stories,
Butch
guys
Jones.
Who are done.
Butch Jones got a head coaching job. And he wasn't even an on-field staffer. He was like one of those analyst types that got a job.
Yeah. No, some of those guys go to analysts too.
No. So going to – will Bill O'Brien get another head coaching job after his stint?
College? I don't know that pro is in
college.
I think pro is out.
Oh, yeah. I think – yeah.
I think too many players are going to talk, and I don't think he'll be a pro.
No, you can't bring him in as a pro. You just can't. He was so horrible. He's the worst general manager in NFL history. So you can't bring him in. There's just no way. But college, I think Bill O'Brien will get a job off of this. All right, 713-780-3. He's an underdog, though. I'll tell you that, Lance.
Well, he's not an underdog from Underdog Fantasy, because Underdog Fantasy is where you go to play the different games like baseball, basketball, football. You have fantasy available to you. Daily Fantasy is available every single day, and there's some big name investors who are behind Underdog Fantasy. You're going to hear this name more and more and more. I'm giving you a hookup early on. I'm telling you about it early on. And right now, when you realize that when you use my promo code radio to sign up, after your first deposit, you're going to get $25 free of bonus cash. Use that $25 to enter into their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament. Here's how this is going to work. You are going to draft an entire team. You're going to roll it out for the whole year, and the winner is going, or you have a chance. You don't have to be just first. You have a chance if you place up there near the top to win over $3.5 million in total prizes. You can get your hands on part of that prize pool. I'm telling you right now, this is this website is unlike any other thing that I've seen before. It's great design, great interface, but more importantly, they give you over-under matchups. They give you head-to-head matchups where you can go use your skill to determine who's going to win head-to-head in a matchup between two basketball players and the most points scored, for example. And you got a chance to win that when you tie two or three or four or five of them all together, and you win as a multiplier. So it's something you really have to see. And, of course, they do daily fantasy, and during the football season, they will do season-long fantasy football as well. Use your skill. Show everyone that you are the best. Get your own private leagues going or play leagues that have already been set up. Make sure you use the promo code radio. Get your $25 bonus cash when you make your first deposit. It's underdogfantasy.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 920 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. How about our Astros, boys? That was a hell of a weekend. That was one of the...
Don't tune in late. Don't tune in the third inning, or you'll have already missed seven runs.
Or, well, yeah, right. We had the one game though. Well, that was the Jordan
one
game.
That was
the 2-1 game. That was
a grind. Oh, what? You mean the supposed best team in the American League had to actually have one competitive game? Congratulations.
Yeah,
that was a hard sweep. Four and oh.
It wasn't even a soft sweep. I like getting all four.
It's hard sweep. They got all four, and then you it was impressive that, and even in that game, you were able to keep it. Who started that game before Fromber? Who was that? Who was the starter? Was it Garcia?
It was Garcia.
Yeah, it was Garcia. But the bullpen did their job to hang on, to keep it there. Like, everyone did their job, and then you ended up getting a clutch hit late. That's something that's been very impressive over the last 6 weeks, is that the Astros really, innings 7, 8, and 9 have been very good offensively. Not always bullpen-wise. We know there were times where it was terrible. Well, lately,
but that was
been
a key
better
to winning this series, though, was holding the bullpen.
It's been better. There are times it's been terrible, but over the last 6 weeks, their offense, they have plenty of either comebacks or add-ons in innings 7, 8, 9 now. They're doing a great job of getting runs in the last third. So, fun to watch, fun game to watch, fun games to watch, I should say. You're starting pitching. It was good to see Luis Garcia get back on track after that just one game where he got beat. You know, he had been a juggernaut. Fromber still is just, you know, it's got that, I mean, I hate to say Bob Knepper go that far back or even Tom Glavin, but he really just seems to have such great command of being able to throw the ball where he wants. He's not afraid to walk somebody if he needs to because he doesn't want to give in and give you your pitch. But you just get so many games where Fromber is getting weak contact. And his ability to get through seven innings is such a massive advantage right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Fromber's become that guy who can get you seven innings.
It's in every outing. It's seven. He's going seven. Spencer wants to talk about his Astros. Let's get Spencer in here. What do you say, man?
Hey, guys. I called in during the spring and said, talked about how the Astros had one of the best, probably the best rotation in baseball. And the next day, Framer broke his finger. And then, you know, it was a rough 40 or 50 games with, you know, Odorizzi coming in as Mr. Gaskin, and he just had super uneven rotation. Now they're sitting there with a six-man rotation with Javier in the bullpen, and they have Bregman and Tucker on the DL, but they have the best offensive baseball. And I mean, obviously injuries can slow things down, but they're just flat out the best team in baseball. And, you know, watching game after game, watching these lineups, it has got to be so absolutely mind-numbingly frustrating for opposing pitchers because they just don't chase bad pitches, and even when they get retired in an out, something like Yuli will have like a 12 pitch at bat where he fouls a bunch of balls off. And you know, when you do that over and over and over and over, it just wears the other teams out. And they're just, it's exciting to watch. They're incredibly deep. They don't have a single MVP candidate, but on any given night, one through eight is a pretty darn good lineup. And when you have your starters going seven innings, giving up two runs every single night, you're going to win a lot of ball games. So go Astros.
Yep. You know, Dusty's doing a great job. I mean, it's hard when, because it's Spencer that calls and gives us a daily Dusty update, right? Uh-huh. It's hard to argue with what he's done because, well, actually, the bullpen is getting some outs, so that makes it that much easier for Dusty. You know, when AJ was the one who put it, you know, you go to the fridge and there's nothing but just crap food in there, spoiled food. All right, make some dinner. What? Yeah. The bullpen is actually coming through now. What the hell?
Yeah.
You're getting great starting pitching. You're getting clutch and even early hitting, where, you know, the pitchers can just throw strikes now and not worry about it. Put the ball in play. Now it's easy. And the bullpen is giving you 2-3 innings a night of flawless, scoreless baseball. And it's unbelievable. And it all changes now tonight because you're going to Baltimore. I'm convinced it's going to be awfully difficult for in Baltimore and in Detroit. It's just going to be too hard to win there. It just is. You face the best team in baseball, and then you gotta go face the Orioles. It's just too hard to win.
I want to find. Hold on, let me go back here. So I was looking at Fromber on his exit velocity is at 90 miles an hour. His average exit velocity of that, they've got something where they look at the launch angle, and his is minus six, which means the ball's not being launched. It's, mm-hmm. it's being hit lower. And he's a ground ball pitcher. He's like 72% ground balls. So that's what he does exceptionally well. But I'm trying to find I'm looking for the exit velo, where he would rank amongst. I'm looking on Fangraphs. I'm going to try to find that, where he ranks in terms of, well, soft contact here, who the very best is in soft contact, for example. And the best would be, all right, we got to see how many. John Means, Woodruff, Keuchel. That's interesting. Pablo Lopez, Ian Anderson, Zach Wheeler, Jacob DeGrom. Medium contact. You know, DeGrom is hard contact. Actually, DeGrom has given up some hard contact.
Well, but very few guys make contact. What is it, just percentage of guys who make contact?
Well, I would think it's of people who hit. But I don't know. You're right. Maybe that formula is the percentage. Maybe it's divided by the percentage of
guys,
of batters.
Balls in play.
That could be. Because I was thinking Fromber would show up on there.
DeGrom would have to be like the lowest. He would almost have to be. He's so unbelievable.
You would think.
Yeah.
And I got to make sure that, because right now, ground ball percentage just says Dallas Keuchel 56%, 56.9, but Fromber's at 72%. So I got to see if I got to see what's going on here, because I don't feel like I'm getting, maybe there's a filter that I'm missing out on, because he should be, maybe it's, okay, so it's got to be qualified innings pitched. So that's probably, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
928 ESPN 97.5, someone 3780-3776 to get in here to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. Get back to basketball when we come back right here on the show, talking about the playoffs and how the Rockets played into it this weekend. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
They're going to have to sit this kid down and say, Ben, it's either A or B. You're going to have to work on, you're going to have to work on your shooting first. Then you're going to have to shoot the ball. Then you're going to have to shoot free throws, or we can't win with you. That is a small, very honest conversation. You can't win with he's your guard. Now, if he was a forward or somebody, but he has the ball.
It really is unbelievable how, well, Ben Simmons. Okay, so who's helped themselves the most this postseason? And it's funny? I think Kevin Durant is up there. A guy who's got titles, who's considered, and yet
he took... You have legitimate conversations about if he's the best player in basketball,
I think he is. But that he could even improve his status in the game this year, he did, too. He put that team on his back, though.
Well, it helped that he had two guys who were injured, so it allowed him to do it, and then he did it.
And he did it.
He didn't shrink from it.
He had 49 and 48.
He demanded the ball.
Yes.
He demanded the ball.
And it came up short, and it was an air ball at the end. You cannot think that Kevin Durant was not as anything but awesome. Yeah. He was awesome. He was unbelievable.
This just, everything is solidified with this performance. I was trying to think about this with Ben Simmons. I think Joel Embiid
is up there.
Really helped himself.
Booker has helped himself.
Trey Young has helped himself tremendously. Tremendously.
Booker.
Trey is a legitimate, really good point guard who... I mean, he's a lead guard. He's today's version of it. Score first, but can get assists too.
He's very Allen Iverson-ish.
But he's a pretty good passer. Like he's got pretty good court vision.
Chris Paul has helped himself.
You know, Paul George is helping himself.
Paul George is helping himself.
Depending on how the series goes, he either has a chance to reinforce the playoff P, the weak
pandemic
playoff
P
guy,
or,
pandemic yeah. P or. Or, you know, what he's done so far with the way he took out Utah. I don't think Donovan Mitchell was hurt by going out early. I just think the whole Jazz organization jazzed it up. They're jazzy. That's what a jazzy team does.
Yeah.
They jazz out. They're so full of jazz. It's just what they do.
It's too close. I think it's too close. I think he's getting dangerously close.
No, I mean, seriously. This is what they do. They fall short.
He's stomping on a line right now.
Yeah, he really is. We don't need it. Okay, who's hurt themselves? Number one is Ben Simmons. Maybe he's getting himself close to... Ben Simmons is getting himself close to, like, untradeable. Who's going to take on that contract that's getting up to $40 million a year, and it's 4 years worth of this? That is even more untradeable than Ryan Anderson's contract.
I think this is more untradeable because you could have, like, well, I don't know. Maybe that's not fair because, you know, in 82 games, Ben Simmons is going to get you rebounds, assists, points.
He was an all-star.
But here's the thing, though. His trade, you already knew, getting rid of Ryan Anderson was just a matter of salary dump for salary dump. You're probably going to have to take on a bad salary. With Ben Simmons, I think there's a chance it's going to be you are going to trade a guy who's going to be a number one or a number two for another team, where I agree with you. I'm not sure that championship-level teams are going to covet a player who simply goes missing in the fourth quarter, who doesn't want – like, he looks so mentally finished. This almost never happens with basketball players. Basketball is the one sport where you almost never see guys just completely fall off like that. It almost never happens in their prime. Baseball, sometimes guys in baseball will just, like, really good one year, really bad the next year. Basketball, it almost never happens. When you're really good in basketball, you're really good in basketball. Ben Simmons right now is in that weird Carson Wentz era where you think, how did he go from this to this? Where you can see it's all him. Like, that was him mentally. He had a dunk that he passed up because he thought he was going to get fouled. And so he couldn't, like, he's the guy who can't wait to pass to somebody else.
Mm-mm. Oh, well, he didn't even want.
I don't know how Daryl's going to trade him. He's got 4 years left, and all it is going to be, you know, $3 million plus every year is what the escalator is in this contract. So it'll be like $33 million next year. How are you going to trade that?
You can't.
How many first-round picks
are you going to trade? Well, unless you Brock Osweiler it.
Yeah, or you Daryl Morey it.
Yeah, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, yeah. But the only difference is you thought Chris is at the end of the road and physically not good, and it's $40 million and all that. I don't doubt that Ben Simmons can still play some really good basketball, but mentally, who wants to take a chance on that? And Dell, have you cleaned up? Did you listen to the Ben Simmons fan?
Where did you Alan send Reed this? It wasn't in my DMs.
Who did I send it to?
You're slipping into somebody's DM?
You might want to check on that.
Yeah, it's not in your DMs. Who did I send that to?
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to be like, why are you slipping into my DMs with this?
Why is Lance sending me this about Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
It's a Philadelphia. Did you check your email address?
Yes, you didn't send it there either.
Oh, cool.
Look at that.
I'll send you an email, and you'll have to clean it up. But, you know, the idea was, can Ben Simmons come back to Philadelphia? I would say it's an emphatic.
Well, you got his own guys. You got Joel Embiid saying the turning point was, you know, he could have been like, well, it's a long game. Plays happen in basketball game. No, he goes, you know, that time where we had a layup and, you know, he passed out of it and we only got one free throw. Turning point. Doc Rivers. Is Ben Simmons a championship caliber point guard? Well, can't really answer that.
I can't answer that.
Ben Simmons can't come back to this.
No.
No.
No, they all, yeah. It was no sick. I mean, in that locker room after that game, how could you even look at Ben Simmons? Dude, you're a $30 million player that can't touch the ball.
People have screenshotted three actions of multiple players on that play. Seth Curry's like, what are you doing? Joel Embiid, there's video of him spotlighted, and he's like, what is going on? What are you doing? That doesn't go away. The players are going to remember this dude had a dunk, and he decided, let's give it to Thybulle and see if he can make a play when you're under the rim.
Oh,
so afraid.
My God. Let me make sure this stat is right. Content producer for Get Up ESPN and Greeny on ESPN Radio, Paul Himbicidis. Now, he's getting this from some stats and information source, so this is going to be real. In 34 career playoff games, Ben Simmons has made 5 shots outside of 10 feet. In 34 games, only 5 makes outside of 10 feet. What? 5? You make a shot every 7 games? Every 6.5 games, you make a shot outside of 10 feet? That seems like it can't possibly be true.
Wow. Well, he ain't taking none. He's 0 for 0 every... You telling me that he doesn't have any open looks from 3? Are you telling me that? No, guess what? He is... You're sagging off that dude whenever he's got the ball.
All his looks from 3 are open. Go ahead.
And 0 shots.
Can I read you the heroic Joel Embiid, what he tweeted last night? He tweeted 10 hours ago, so It was in the after party.
Yeah.
Philly, I love you. Sorry to disappoint you again. Just know that I gave everything I had, knowing the circumstances. If there's one thing I've learned from being here, it's the toughness. When I do that, that means it's capitalized. Toughness this city has, and that's why I played with a torn meniscus. Thank you for the support all year long. That was just him getting in the, hey, I just want to let y'all know I played with a torn meniscus, so I'm kind of a hero. He just said, it's the toughness this city has, and that's why I played with a torn meniscus. Thanks, guys. Like, you could have said the whole thing without mentioning your injury.
Nah, you mentioned injury, so if anyone has any slander about his eight turnovers, averaging eight turnovers over the last two games, go, look, meniscus.
No, you see this? I'm playing with a torn knee. Meniscus.
And meanwhile, this other dude can't even dunk a basketball into the rim. So don't blame me for any of it. That's what this is about.
One fan said, throwing your teammate under the bus after eight turnovers. The game was still on the line when you lost the ball at the perimeter. Why are you even shooting jumpers while you can take your lazy self close to the basket with the game on the line? Yeah, that turnover was, I mean, he just got, listen, that's something that we as white guys learn. And granted, Bogdanovich is, Gallinari. Yeah. Is, you know, he's
what?
Pale. He's not typical driveway white guy, but we learn that lazy defensive moves from the time that we're about 12 years old. The reach, especially on any type of spin dribble, the reach around and slap away move is, that's a white guy move. You got to know that that move is potentially coming. So you got to protect the ball because, well, I call us sneaky defenders. Like, I don't like to refer to myself as a lazy defender, just more of an opportunistic and kind of sneaky defender. That's one of the moves that you make. You
the James Harden eyes. Move?
Yeah, you avert. Yeah, like James would know that
yeah,
move.
James
would know that
no,
move.
James perfected
although he
that move.
Typically reaches across the body with a halfway reach with the wrong arm. You're supposed to do ball arm. He reaches opposite arm,
right.
Which gives him literally like the arm length of a Kevin Willis. Like a tiny... Where there's no chance he could possibly... Right. He can't even get a foul. The opposite arm can't even reach across to foul. But Embiid's turnover was monster. I mean, that was the game. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid had two plays down the stretch that probably cost them the game. And then they had a redhead kid making three free throws, which helped to make that a two-possession game and really kind of changed the whole... tenor of the whole game. Once they got up two possessions late in that game, so
Huerter being Rickrolled is
because he is the redheaded. He Rickrolled the whole game.
Yeah, well, he looks just like
it was him isolating Seth Curry. Like that's not how this game is supposed to be played. That's not what the NBA from a rating standpoint. Do you think Huerter versus Seth is the matchup they want? I don't think so.
Doesn't get any better than that. It's at 9:43 ESPN 97.5. Lance's last segment coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Maybe he'll send Dell that
video. Nah, he sent it. It's going to be an issue.
It's going to take a while, though, because there's a lot of bad words in it. Well, it's Philadelphia. That's what they do.
And it's after an elimination game.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:46, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Did look a picture of, I got Zach Soskin and Dusty Stanfield. They're supposed to join us in studio tomorrow. These guys are selling major sponsorships for NIL already. Like, they're ahead of the game on NIL name, image, likeness. That's NILs. You're going to hear a lot about that as players now get paid. Well, the good players will be, the marketable ones. But I've got some numbers that I can't say. I'm not allowed to say. And you'll start hearing a lot about it after July 1st. But let's just say Derek King is going to do exceptionally well. And he made the right decision to return to Miami. I will tell you that. Although I don't think there was a decision to be made.
Will he make more in college than he'll make in the pros?
I think so.
I think so, too.
He might be a wide receiver in the pro. He's not going to be a quarterback. I feel pretty strongly about that. He might be a wide receiver. He's played wide receiver at University of Houston. If he's willing to lock in at that position, some guys don't like doing it. When you have a chance to make NFL money, you do what you need to do to play. So we'll see. But they also represent Travis Etienne Jr. For marketing stuff. So we're going to have them in here to talk about how this is working, how it's going to work. I think it will be a really interesting conversation. I just didn't realize Etienne was this short.
He does look short.
He looks really short.
How big are these
guys?
Picture.
This has got to be. They must be standing. Well, Dusty might be like 6'1"-ish. Zach feels like he's 5'11". Like, this just must be the angle of the shot or something.
Dude looks super, short there.
Etienne just looks super short.
So the Rockets. The guys I think that are probably most responsible for the Rockets' success and also the most responsible for the Rockets' demise are both out of the playoffs. Both eliminated this weekend. James Harden and Daryl Morey. James Harden is responsible for the Rockets' demise and how he had to get out of here the way he wanted to get out of here. How he had to get rid of everybody around him because he couldn't get along with Kevin McHale, then Dwight Howard, or maybe Dwight Howard and then Kevin McHale, whatever the case may be. And then he couldn't get along with Chris Paul, and then he couldn't get along with Russell Westbrook. And now this is having to get rid of everybody that James didn't want around, and this is where you are, the worst team in basketball. And then Daryl Morey, the moves that he made to, first of all, get the Rockets to greatness, and secondly, to get them to pitifulness, and that's where they are. Honestly. He got him to pitifulness. That Chris Paul trade.
That's quite a journey.
It's so underrated, that Chris Paul trade, how horrific it was.
Yeah, it was almost a give-up trade where it's almost like he knew he... Well, first of all, getting rid of $40 million in a year where Chris Paul was oft injured and wasn't very effective, that was always going to be hard to move. The fact that he was able to move him, I thought, was astonishing until you see... You know, you took on a bad contract. This is what bothers me most about it. You also took on You took on a not great contract. I don't understand why Daryl gave in. Daryl at no point ever gave in negotiations. He always seemed to get the best. And this was like a give up trade. Honestly, that Chris Paul trade, you're right. It is underrated for being Daryl Morey. Of all the trades he made, that usually the Rockets were on the better end of it, and he stood firm for what the value of a player was in value. This is almost like you just take whatever you want. You can have it. That's fine. It was like a give-in, give-up trade. It's like something that Bill O'Brien would have done. It didn't make any sense. Like, Daryl did this? Daryl gave away this many picks? And I know Daryl didn't value picks, but that's what concerns me, is that I think at the very end, Daryl's good at building, reshuffling, but sometimes knowing how to, like, he got himself in a position where as soon as they agreed to $40 million for Chris Paul, it was a wrap. Like, this organization was done. Not because you signed Chris Paul to the extension, even though it's an extension that felt like an untradeable one, and it really, frankly, was when you consider what you gave up, but because you had to rely on James getting along with them. What a risk. This is a guy who doesn't get along with anybody except go-along-to-get-along type guys. And Chris Paul, who's an alpha personality?
Mm-hmm.
Man, y'all didn't see any kind of concerns in that one?
I think it goes DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Paul as the worst two trades in this city's history. Right. Literally, that was one of the worst. And then Brock Osweiler comes in, but Brock Osweiler comes in behind this. I know you had to get, you had $40 million, but you took on $40 million. You took on a $40 million deal that a guy who had to get out of there, who wanted out of there. So what Daryl Morey did and where he left this organization, I'm not unhappy. I'm not all that bummed that those two guys are out, if you want to know the truth. Who do you want to see of all the guys that are left? Pat Bev, PJ Tucker, Clint Capela, and Chris Paul. Who do you want most to win?
Chris.
Paul?
Because it's more just for his basketball legacy. Sorry, I turned my thing off. I think Dell had turned my mic off. Sorry about that, Dell.
Stop turning
radio.
His mic on and off. we're not hearing you.
I'm not doing that. I had to turn his back on.
I think he's turning it off and on. But anyway, that's what I think is happening. But for Chris Paul, it's bigger than the Rockets. He's been an all-time great point guard, a.k.a. the nickname Point God. He's a crossover in eras. And I think that crossover in eras, his ability to win at high levels, other than the highest level, obviously, where I mean, he's come up short, but he makes everyone around him better. He was a good player at Wake Forest and was a well-known player. I think his work ethic and competitiveness and everything about him is kind of legendary. I don't think he's the most beloved guy in the league because he's just not down with the rest of the league. Like he's a homebody. He likes hanging out with his kids. He goes to the baseball games. He hangs out with his wife. They watch games together. He is a throwback. And I think a title will give him the respect that he really richly deserves. I think right now there is that. I think he still has the quote unquote choke angle hanging over him because he did play tight. He has played tight in some games. Played tight against the Rockets last year when Lou Dort had his big game against James. You know, even though Chris Paul had his moments against the Rockets in that game seven, he wasn't very good last year. For Oklahoma City. We know he wasn't good for the Clippers when he was in the Game 6, Game 7 scenario against the Rockets when they were eliminated. So I think he needs this also to wipe out that narrative. If you win a championship and you're a part of it, and he's the guy that really took from a non-playoff team to a championship, are you kidding me? And there's never been a better time now. Who's left? You got Giannis and that merry band of non-scorers over there and that team full of grinders. You got a Hawks team that I just feel like is just not, they're just not good enough, I don't think. Like, you're not going to face Seth Curry defensively the rest of the way.
Now you're facing Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Would you rather be a merry band of non-scorers or hog swallowers?
No, non-scorers.
If you want merry bands, I'd rather have the non-scorers.
I don't
want to
be a merry band of hog swallowers.
The Suns, who right now, after one game, but granted, really the entire playoffs, like you do realize, did they ever get a 20-point lead on the Clippers? I don't think so. They never got that high because that would have been their sixth game with a 20-point lead during a game at some point.
Have you seen
yes,
this?
Yes, I saw the
they
Ben
put
Simmons.
Ben Simmons face somebody from a on Pride some Parade. Cheerleader.
No, that's his real. No, it's Pride Parade, and no, that's actually a guy who looks like Ben Simmons. They didn't put his face on that. That's just a guy who looks like Ben Simmons.
No way.
That's not a cheerleader, John. No, that's the Pride
Parade.
Well,
I know it's not a cheerleader, but
that's a dude at a Pride
Parade.
But
that's a cheerleader kind of thing.
No, it's not.
Well, no, they put Ben Simmons' face. They superimposed it on him.
That's not.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Somebody who looks like him.
No, it's not. They put Ben Simmons' face on that guy.
I'm going to double check.
I've seen the original video, and it's just a dude who looks like him. I don't know if John's seeing a different
one. No, that's
why
he's seen the same one. He just looks like
him. Where they deep fake Ben Simmons.
It's not a deep fake.
Speaking of Ben Simmons.
And this was made in, this is made in of 2018.
Lance sent me the audio of what this guy said about Ben Simmons. And frankly, crumbum. Maybe my favorite thing.
I've heard crumb bum before. It's not used a lot,
but when it is, it's
jarring.
When you add it, look, we had a guy call someone sugar. What is it? I keep forgetting what he called this guy. We had a caller call someone who filled in. But crumb bum combined with this anger, it's pretty
special. You crumb bum.
So,
Ben Simmons, you crumb bum piece of a waste of money. You got 5 points. You's a f***ing bum. Get the f*** out of my city, you piece of
shut up.
You put
Another fan tells him, shut up, as he's walking doing his Instagram live. He goes, F you, you P word. Then it turns off, you crumb bump, Ben Simmons, you crumb bump. That sounds like Tracy Morgan. You crumb bump. I'm going to get your girlfriend pregnant. Remember when we lost control when Tracy Morgan was in studio? It's a complete loss of control.
Oh,
I'm going to try to get that girl pregnant right there. Remember we had that one girl?
Oh, yeah.
She was good.
Yeah, she was good.
But Tracy was threatening to get her pregnant. She's just in watching. She's through the glass. She was worked at the front office.
Somebody's about to get pregnant up in here.
Somebody's going to get pregnant. Who, Tracy? Who? I remember when Incredible Hulk was shooting dice with Captain America.
Now, you guys have a decision to make.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's going to become a drop. Crumb bum.
Crumb bum. Ben Simmons, you crumb bum.
Do you want Ben Simmons, or do you want it a generic one where he doesn't say Ben Simmons so you can just call
people no, crumb bum? No, I just want crumb bum.
You just want to call people?
No, I want a generic.
Or anytime we bring up Ben Simmons.
So, yeah, but I want you can just play that.
You want to have both, so you want this.
No.
You make the decision.
Okay, go ahead. Let play
Would
him
you
real
like
quick.
This one?
Ben Simmons, you crumb bum piece of
okay.
Okay.
Or
I like that.
Simmons, not, okay. Or what's the next one, Del?
Crumb bum piece of
See?
Do you want to just call random people
Or what about this? Can you just cut it to you crumb bum? Because he goes, Ben Simmons, you crumb bum.
I mean, sure, there are
What
multiple.
About just you crumb bum? I what
feel,
about that?
I feel like crumb bum piece of is some extra added things that pretty
good. It does
good.
Add to it.
Yeah, it's up to you. We can diversify. I'm just figuring out, because what if Ben Simmons gets traded here?
See, now then it needs that the name needs to be on it. Although that's pretty bad for us to have crumb bum, but if Ben Simmons plays like this with the Rocket,
he's a crumb bum.
He's a crumb bum then, if that's the case.
Oh, if he comes here? No.
30 million to get 5 points in a game seven?
There is zero chance. Tillman, did this really happen? There was a fight here this weekend? There was a boxing match?
Yeah, Charlo.
And Tillman was there, and they put him on a victory, and he got booed.
Ooh.
That's going to happen with an owner.
Tillman, you crumb bum piece of...
No.
I think we should just
Tillman
keep
ain't
it.
Going to like that. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No. Well, I mean, but
Tillman
people,
ain't going to like that.
Listen, Rocket fans are really pissed off at him with how things went in the offseason last year, and then they think he's a guy who's, you know, to Rocket fans, he's the guy that took over the team. And now, under his direction, this is where they are. Mm-hmm. That's the perception. Whether it's fair or not, that's a perception.
Well, I think he catches it, too, because everybody thinks he's cheap. He's doing it on, you know. And if you're an owner and people think that you're frugal, you're persona non grata.
Yeah, this is a real dude, John. This is not a deep fake. Everyone calls it the Ben Simmons lookalike. This is before the deep fakes where they didn't have the... This is 2018. It's before they had the ability. You can go all the way back to the 18 video.
Ben Simmons' face.
It looks just, I think it looks a lot like Ben Simmons.
Oh, my God. He's Ben Simmons' twin. Speaking of which, do you know what extreme twins are? I can't. I will do this story. And extreme twins with the same guy. Have you seen this?
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
I feel like I need to stay for the story.
No, you
Why
need
do
it.
You seem so uncomfortable about extreme twins? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, have you ever seen extreme twins? I mean, they're identical.
No.
And they actually dress alike. They look, they do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've seen people. I've seen twins like usually when they're kids and their moms.
Yeah. Dress them so up. Now they're both engaged to the same guy. So.
Oh, I was wondering why you're getting.
Yeah.
So well, is it female? Extreme twins or
it's female extreme
female twins. Extreme twins engaged to
and
the same person.
Yeah.
So it's a polymorphous relationship.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to have no, but you're not allowed to be. I thought everyone's about, you know, polygamy. They can't both be.
This is in Australia.
Oh, okay. We don't count them.
Yeah. So yeah. So they can I think they can do this. Whatever. But it's actually interesting. And I'll show you in the break right here. You're done. So.
Bye, bitch.
See, I thought he was going to try
to work. A little hesitant.
I thought he was going to work crumb
You're
bums
a little hesitant. Yeah, you crumb bum.
You crumb bum.
Bye, Lance.
Why is he the playoff that we got for $30 million, Tracy Moore?
That's it.
Bye, bitch.
You crumb bum piece of
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, R-I-T-E-R-U-G.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.